This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, our car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today, as usual, by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
We missed you last week, Richard.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you were not in the show. And you know, I checked the numbers. Uh-huh. We were up by 2.7 million listeners.
And the week before, when you were away, how are the numbers there?
You were down to minus three.
Wow. Of course, the man with the gale is the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, how are you, Richard?
Very well, thank you very much. So, of course, we've got some discussion for you today, starting off with news in a sec about how Proton has a new identity.
Yeah.
Then we have some car launches, and then, of course, towards the end of the show, we have a feature. We're talking about the Toyota Supra.
Very exciting, that one.
Very exciting. Yes. Speaking about all things exciting, take us away, Mr. Ruse, the man with the news, and tell us all about Proton's new thunder identity.
Right, so first piece of news, Thundercats, Proton. Everybody's talking about it. They have a new logo and it looks like a flipped version of the Thundercats logo.
It does indeed.
They dropped the shield and they said in the press release, they're setting the tiger free.
They don't need any protection anymore.
Nope. So they freed the tiger and they've dropped the previous tagline, which was, I don't know, to me, it sounded kind of awkward. It's in the drive. That was the previous one. And they've introduced a new one. And I think you'll agree with this. It's even more awkward. Inspiring connections.
I'd call it, I love Proton, first and foremost. Let me just get that out of the way.
Okay.
I feel as though this tagline is a little vague.
No, I think it's perfect.
You think perfect. It's perfect?
You see, before it's in the drive because it was tuned by Lotus. Mm. The cars are tuned by Lotus. It's all about driving dynamics and everything else, despite, you know, the cars not being very reliable. But now it's about inspiring connections. Mm. So they want to connect with you. They want to stay connected. Okay. They want to be a connecting force to you. Mm-hmm. They want to connect with the car with you.
I get the word
car
connect.
Is connected.
I get it.
So it's all about high Proton and the connectivity of the connected drive with the connected people in the connection.
You forgot.
He's rehearsed that, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'll probably on the way drive here, right?
Because I didn't come with a connected drive.
We were trying to figure out what that meant. And, you know, inspiring connections, how do you inspire a connection? A connection is not, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so
it's the inspiring dashboard connectivity that they have in every new Proton and in the revived Proton models.
But should that be your tagline, though, if you are a vehicle maker?
Of course, you have to do that because you don't have Lotus anymore. There's no more in the drive.
I mean, like you mentioned, Rich, just now, Honda has the power of dreams.
Right.
Mm. BMW, sheer driving pleasure, or the ultimate driving machine.
Even Mazda, zoom, zoom.
Zoom, simple enough.
So that's fine with that one.
But immediately, that makes me think of a car.
Yes.
This, though, I'm a little bit...
You think it comes from Cellcom or DG or something.
Maybe
like
it's too highbrow for me.
No, because you see, you don't understand. The future car and the future car that comes from Geely, it's all about being connected in the car. It's not about driving anymore. Mm. The drive is... It's immaterial. It's about you connecting to your friends, talking to the headset, talking to the infotainment system, still doing the WhatsApp, while you're still driving safely in their product.
All right.
Do you want to hear the official definition they gave?
Go on then.
Yes, please.
Inspiring connections means it encapsulates the brand's aspirations of utilizing technology and mobility to help make human connections that inspire a successful life.
I hate it when he's right.
Yeah, I know.
This is encapsulates. Yeah. That's a big word, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Okay,
continue. It's a lot of PR stuff.
Yes.
But the new tagline, Inspiring Connections, is driven by three core values. The first of which is...
Make up your mind.
The first of which is innovative tech. And the second, reliability. And the third, just says international.
We struggled with that a little bit as well.
It's an international company.
Okay, yeah.
It's not a Malaysian company.
But when you are pitching and you're saying three core values, right? Innovative tech... Self-contained phrase, makes sense.
Yeah. Right.
Reliability, self-contained word,
yes,
makes sense.
Right.
International.
I'm going global.
Yeah, but you need it to be international something.
Yeah, you say global, right? But again, according to their press release, they have an ambition to be the top three automotive manufacturers in ASEAN by 2027. So shouldn't that be regional more than global?
Well, 2027, ASEAN. 2028, global.
I suppose so. Now,
have you been talking to Proton recently? Is something you're not telling us? Perhaps?
They've been talking to me.
It almost feels like they launched this out of the blue, doesn't it?
Because no, they thought a lot about this.
Yeah, they did. They did. Yes. Well, when they took over Proton, I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, like Geely to revamp the whole thing. And they did, but they didn't put their brand name on it. So actually back from 2017 to now, they set out to fix Proton's core issues before introducing the rebranding. So they tackled all the supply chains. They went through the reliability, the quality, the after sales and all that stuff. And apparently they were quite successful with it. So I saw this article, I can't seem to find it again, but it said that Proton reduced the number of issues per 100 cars from 6,000 to an industry average to about 1,500, which is really, really, really good. Yeah. So, you know, this rebranding, I guess it starts the new chapter for Proton, doesn't
it? Yes.
I mean, look, I like the logo. I think the logo is decent, you know, and I think it says a little bit more about Proton. It shows they're a little bit more aggressive, perhaps.
Right.
You know, I like the fact that they're adopting a tiger. You know, it brings it local. It makes us feel a bit more local.
Yeah.
I just wish that tiger had got teeth.
No, the thing is, you see, you know, everyone online, and even you guys are saying it on social media, says Thundercats, Thundercats.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not Thundercats. If you actually look at, because I used to watch Thundercats.
Of course.
If you watch Thundercats, it's not similar at all. This is more like Hazy Cat. Because it's sort of like, you know,
about 2 days too late.
Yeah, it's beautiful, clear skies.
No,
today.
Because the logo is sort of hazy. Uh-huh. It like blends with the background.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't like it's not like three-dimensional.
Yeah.
So it's like Hazy Cat. We're here.
I mean, it's interesting that you look at the logo that we saw at the from the press release, and then you go to the logo that's on their website.
Right.
The logo, I think the logo on the website, with it being 2D, actually looks a little bit better
than
the one that's on the vehicle.
And that's the way that Volkswagen did it as well, didn't they?
They slimmed down your logo. Volkswagen slimmed everything down, you know, because, you know, slimmer profits, slimmer sales, so slimmer logo.
So this, anyway, this new logo will turn up on the upcoming locally assembled X70, which, I don't know, is due at the end of the year, perhaps?
Before the
end of the year. Yes. So, and the upcoming X50. So that would be quite exciting.
And then remember, that name, X50, is not confirmed yet. Mm. People have just kept going with the word X50, but has it been confirmed?
I don't think so.
People are still using it. So does it mean that Proton will start using the X for all their SUVs, which tend to make it sound a little bit like they're following the Volvo naming culture?
Yeah, all it's missing is the C.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, they could be doing that. Mm. Who knows? Anyway.
All right, let's move on then, shall we? Let's have some launches.
Yep, the first of which is the facelifted Perodua Axia. We mentioned this last week, but now we have more details.
Yes.
They have 6 variants now from 4. And it still starts at the same price. You get the very basic with absolutely nothing in it.
Right.
That starts at 24,000 ringgit and it tops out at 43,000 ringgit. You might be wondering what's been added to the two variants. One of them is called the G Extra and one of them is called the Style. We'll go into the Style later.
Yes.
But, you know, mid-spec cars like the G Extra now get electric side mirrors, the whole safety kits basically. And you step out one and then you get a push-button start and a reverse camera, which is very nice for an Axia for a cheap car.
Oh, fancy.
But now the Axia Style, like I mentioned last week, a lot of people expected it to turn out to be a more raised SUV style Axia, but it's not. It's literally an appearance package, which you can buy all the trim and, you know, put it on your current old Axia. One thing I'm wondering about this, though, is why didn't they just go straight to the Myvi? Because I feel like this Axia Style will sell like hotcakes.
I'm glad you brought that up
.
Because you heard it here first. Don't worry, the Myvi versions of all this will definitely be coming out. This is a test bed. If it does well, then they'll do it with the Myvi because the Myvi is now 2 years old.
But doesn't the Myvi sell better than the Axia?
Yeah,
of course. But you see, there's only so many Malaysians to buy a Myvi, right? So at some point, the Myvi sales are going to slow down a little bit. Just like the Axia, when it first came out, whoop, hot sales. Everybody wanted the Axia. you know, Grab drivers, personal drivers, senior people, junior people, mid-age people, everybody wanted it, Azia, because it was great value for money and it looked really nice.
Yeah.
Especially the yellow color ones. I like the yellow color ones. Yeah. Maybe because I'm Indian. But end of the day.
You make that joke every week.
And you do it to yourself.
Yeah. But now, I think that's going to happen with the Myvi pretty soon.
Mm. Hopefully, because I think it'll look quite good. Right. But anyway, the second car launch was a very, very nice one. I'm quite
excited.
That
was yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday afternoon, yes. Mercedes AMG A35 4MATIC Sedan. Mm. Very, very long name.
Okay.
I think it's the ultimate city slicker because it's a 2-liter turbo with 306 horsepower and 400 newton meters of torque, which means 0 to 100 in 4.8 seconds. And, you know, it's an A-Class. So you can just zip around town without too much worry other than the price, obviously. Right. 350,000 ringgit.
I think that's pretty reasonable because what's the rival?
The rival?
What's the rival?
You tell us. You're the expert.
That's the thing. There's no rival.
That is true.
No rival. I mean, okay, you've got the Renault Megane and you've got the Honda Civic Type R, but those are hot hatches.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you want a compact, you know,
sedan,
power to weight ratio, fantastic sedan, come on, man. 350K?
Yeah.
And you know, you got that three-pointed star. You can't go wrong.
And this isn't even the top-of-the-line 45. This is the 35. So it's slightly restrained, less aggressive.
Exactly. And you still get 4.8 seconds.
Yeah. So this is some pretty exciting stuff.
And this launch, sorry to interrupt, but this launch came just like 1 hour before that was the launch of the new Petronas lubricant.
Yes.
And they had Lewis Hamilton there, and he had just come from Singapore, and he said a few words. He was very candid. He was very casual. And then he came and made an appearance for the Mercedes launch also. So good man, Lewis. He said a lot of good things about the car, about lubricant, everything else. But my question is, are they actually using the lubricant in the Mercedes-Benz?
I'm sure they do. because they did the same with BMW back then when Petronas sponsored BMW.
Exactly.
So
but BMW is no longer using that lubricant. But anyway, this car, bang for your buck. I'm hoping to get a test drive it.
Yeah, same.
You know, it should be quite an exciting vehicle.
And the final car launch, the biggest, baddest one, the Toyota Supra, the brand new one, the A90.
Yes.
It comes with a 3-liter.
Only one engine.
3-liter straight six from BMW. It's 335 horsepower with 500 newton meters of torque, and it's probably, I think, the coolest sports car out there right now.
Yes.
546,000 ringgit is the price, we'll get to that later in part two.
Indeed, we will. Let's take a short break then. Coming up after the break, of course, it is that Toyota Supra. Did you get to drive one?
Yes,
You did. Jealous. Don't forget, we have an Instagram page if you'd like to follow us there. There's some ramblings that we have occasionally. It is at
BFM Cruise Control.
We'll be right back after these messages on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.by. Say hello.
Hello, listeners.
Over there.
Enthusiasts out there.
Over there, we have Arif Ruz, the man with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, everybody.
So, of course, if you're just joining us, you've missed our bits and pieces of news, how Proton has a new identity with a new tagline, Inspiring Connections, encapsulating the brand's aspirations of utilizing technology and mobility to help make human connections and inspire a successful life.
Well read, man.
There you go. We, of course, had then some launches. We had the facelift Peridot Axia. We had the Mercedes AMG A35 4MATIC Sedan.
And
wrapping up with the Toyota Supra A90, which is what Daniel's come here to tell us all about right now.
Because I got the chance to drive it, and I drove it hard for a very long 12 minutes. 12 minutes.
I remember many, many moons ago, previous job, one of our IT developers back then, they're the guys with the money, right?
Right.
He brought into work his brand new Toyota Supra.
That was his name Subramaniam?
No, his name was Dave.
Oh, Dave, okay.
Similar.
Dave Subramaniam.
But he drove it in, and I'm like, that's a beautiful looking thing.
It is. Actually, I like the old Supras.
Yeah, but this thing.
This thing, it's you know, it's either you love it or you don't really like it that much in terms of design. And I'll tell you why. Because to me, the best way to look at this car, I like the design. And I'll tell you why I like it. Because it's got the front end of a Kardashian.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go again.
And it's got the rear end of Kate Moss.
Oh. I thought you were going to say, it reminds me of a Dodge Viper.
No. No. Oh, well. Well, I've just... I see it now. Right, I see it now.
Right. I think it reminds me of more of Predator.
Because of
that big, huge, gaping mouth.
Oh, you know? Right. Okay, okay.
But it's got that really nice long nose.
Yeah.
You know, flat arches in front, and then a really slim rear. So I think it's got that design.
You are terrible sometimes. Terrible.
That unique design, which is pure sports car.
Yeah,
it is.
You know,
yeah.
From any angle you look at it, sports car. I mean, this car could come with a 1 liter hybrid engine, and it'll still say sports car.
Yeah.
You know? So... we were invited to the Sungai Besi Airport, which is now a construction site, but the runway is still there. They did the launch there. They gave us a chance to take the car out and abuse it on the runway because it's an open runway. And we did abuse it. We got into the car. The first thing we did, we put it in sports mode, and we just rocked it. We were not kind to the Toyota engineers. We were not kind to the BMW sourced engine. We tried our best to abuse it on the runway. Top speed, hard braking, slalom, we whacked the cones. We were not trying to avoid the cones. We whacked the cones. We came to the end. We did a quick U-turn, and we came back and did the same thing. Why? Because you don't get a chance to do this very often.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Especially in a car like this.
Exactly. And this car, there's no reason for them to register it for us to take it home for the weekend because it's sold out.
Already.
Already. Whatever allocation that Malaysia has for this year is sold out. And, you know, if you think about it, at that price, a lot of people said, oh, you know, it's very close to the Porsche Cayman. It's, you know, close to the BMW Z4, which is based on. But the Z4 in Malaysia is a 2 liter and it sells for 468. So that's okay. Yes, it's a lower price. But, you know, a 2 liter doesn't really...
It's not...
It doesn't excite
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think the reason why BMW did not bring in a 3-liter, which they could have done, is because I think they had a gentleman's agreement with Toyota and said, you bring in the 3-liter Supra and see how many Malaysians will buy it. I will sell my 2-liter like hotcakes. But now, if you Google the BMW Z4, you'll probably get 10 or 12 entries. But if you Google the Supra, you'll get 10 or 12,000 entries.
Is that because it's been away for so long, though?
Yes, 17 years it's been away, but it's also such an iconic car.
Yeah.
And also because it's such a, you know, it's one of those cars which people dream of owning. You know, a Z4 is not really a car you dream, a Z8, you know, the previous BMW Z8. That's the kind of car you dream of owning.
This is Toyota's flagship car.
Exactly,
sports car.
Yeah.
So
for BMW, they got other flagships.
Yep.
You know, for the Toyota brand, I think fantastic. So for me, I looked at it, I said, okay, design-wise, great. Driving it, awesome. Power delivery, the way the car handles, the tail is not totally tucked in all the time, but you know you can bring it back in. It's easy to work with. The brakes are fantastic. The driving position, everything nice. But as I came back into the hangar and I said to myself, you know, would I pay $568,000 for everything that I said earlier? Yes. But then I see everything BMW. Steering is BMW, gear shifter, aircon vents, buttons, knobs, levers, grab handle, door handle. Everything is BMW. Then I'm thinking to myself, you know, Toyota, big company, great company. They've been building cars. They built a Toyota 86. Mm. That is a joint venture with Subaru. Mm. But they had a lot of Toyota in it. But this one, there's too much of BMW in it.
It's literally every piece of the interior except for the
digital instrument cluster.
Yeah,
yes,
the instrument cluster. You even get the iDrive from the BMW, which is...
And the instrument cluster looks like it came out of a Lexus.
Yeah.
So my question is, you know, which I'm trying to figure it out. There's nothing wrong with the car, but I'm trying to figure out. If Toyota already has big capacity engines sitting with Lexus, they got some really nice turbocharged engines sitting with Lexus, they could have done it themselves. Build quality, they can do it themselves. Knobs, buttons, everything. They can take it from Lexus if they want to go premium. So why did they work with BMW? This is my analysis. You know, again, you hear
it.
Yeah,
I was just
going to
ask you that question.
Yes, my analysis is this. I think they were not ready for global success. They probably thought, you know, yeah, we'll sell some cars, but, you know, how many people out there really want a Supra? Because everyone's talking about emissions, everyone's talking about saving fuel and, you know, global climate change and everything else. The supercar industry is also, you know, maybe suffering a little bit. The really high-end don't care. This is like mid-range.
I mean, I think for years, a lot of people have been saying, like, nobody wants to buy a sports car anymore.
Yes,
people do,
yes.
But they the mass it, market. Yes. Yeah.
But they feel guilty about doing it as well.
Yeah. So, yes. I mean, to put, like, billions and billions of dollars or ringgits into building a single platform or a single or designing a single interior or an engine for a sports car, maybe they didn't see the
yes.
value in that.
You know, because something like this, you got to spend it at least 6, 7, 8 years. And then also, you know, production, you know, are you going to dedicate a factory just for this car and how many are you going to sell? So let's sit down with BMW and see. Because BMW is, you know, the previous Z4 sort of dwindled down a little bit. Their sedans are selling much better. Their SUVs are selling like crazy. The crossovers like the X2 and X1 are doing really well. So sports car may be not so important. So two companies sat down and said, let's work together. Let's see what happens. So we build this in Austria. We send it around the world and see what happens. Mm. Because the whole world is clamming down on, you know, pure petrol, adrenaline pumping sports cars. But hello, success here. People want this car, you know.
You know what you said? You had a problem with it being a Toyota Supra, but with BMW everywhere.
Yes.
I think to me, this is my perfect car.
Oh,
man.
Yes, of course.
This is everything I would ask for.
So hang on. If we just for a moment forget about everything that is BMW,
okay.
Right? And you've driven it around and you've driven into the hangar. You didn't step out and say, I want one of these.
Before I got into the car, that's what I said. I said, you know, one day, because now the old Supras have gone up in value.
Yeah.
A decent 20-year-old Supra, manual, not the auto, manual, is going for almost 200,000 ringgit. You know,
yeah.
The auto goes for slightly less. I would rather get this car if I can afford it. But the thing is, you see, now, after driving it, there's just too much of BMW, which is not wrong. It's not wrong. But, you know, you want the Japanese Toyota interior, like the 86, the Japanese Toyota interior. Simple, straightforward, not complicated. And then I said, no, it's not possible. Because why? When you look at the Lexus interiors, they've become like this. They're very close to what like BMW and Mercedes do. They're all getting that way because the new generation of buyers want a busy interior. I'm an old man. I want a simple instrument cluster, 1-2 buttons, chocobla, and a gear shifter, you know? This one got gear shifter, okay, I'm happy lah. You know? But this car is bang for your buck, sports car.
I think it should be mentioned that these two companies, BMW and Toyota, when they came together to try to design something and make something out of it, they worked together on the chassis to some extent, the tuning of the engine, the suspension, and the brakes, but they kind of split in two ways when it comes to what the identity of the Z4 and what the identity of
yes.
the Supra was meant to be. So the Z4 was supposed to be a luxury cruiser, top-down, you know, cruising on sunset. Mm. I don't know where you would see a beautiful sunset in KL anymore, but, you know, the Supra is supposed to be the hard-on sports car. And, you know, it's... I kind of feel for BMW, I guess, because with this car, you know, you could see that Toyota had made a really good sports car out of it, but now BMW, I feel, doesn't get the chance because of some underlying, you know, agreement.
Well, if you go to DSM and look at the pictures of the Z4, the Z4 is a good-looking car, but it's just not as good-looking as the Supra.
All right.
I agree.
Let's go through an inspection then.
Yes.
Does it have any competitors?
The Porsche Cayman.
Ah.
So the Porsche Cayman is a direct competitor. Price, even power delivery and everything, very close. But when you add on the extras on the Porsche Cayman, which this car already comes loaded, so you don't have to add on anything, then maybe the Porsche Cayman is about 40, 50,000 more. But again, if you're sitting down, you know, like say both of us go on a double date, and I put down my Supra key, and you put down your BMW key. With a Supra, I say, oh, you're driving a Toyota.
Ah.
You know? So that's the only thing that changes everything. But the moment they go outside to the car park and my Kardashian-looking front comes, I will get the big hula.
Right. Okay. So give me some other things that are good about it. I mean, you say it looks beautiful.
Looks beautiful. Build quality is great. The whole dynamics of driving it, you will not be disappointed. Even if you're not a real all-out driver. Okay, like, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but you don't drive every day, so you're not really in it every day. But you know, if you get into the car, you'll start getting excited about going fast because the car really talks to you. The car really has some feedback. That part of it, I think, comes from BMW. BMW know how to build communicative cars. They've done it for a long time. They've lost a bit of their mojo because, you know, they've gone to sedans and SUVs and crossovers. But here, you've got it. You still got it.
Okay, one more question before I pass over to Arif here. What do you think it's actually lacking? I mean, okay, give me some bad points.
I'll give you some bad points.
Apart from the fact that it's a BMW interior.
Okay. That's not a bad point. That's not a bad point. It's just not right.
It feels like you're saying the Supra's lost its identity.
Yes. Because the Supra, you want three big dials. Yeah. You know, one for tachometer, one for speedometer, one for heat, you know, because very hot, you know, our country. But apart from that, that's fine. Now, what I don't like about this car is the seats are not real race-ready seats. They're nice. They're torso-hugging, but they're not really race-ready because they're like BMW seats, you know? So like the old Supras, they're very nice, you know, contoured seats. That's number one. Number two, when you change gear in a car like this, 3-liter, 500 newton meters of torque, when you're bombing it and you feel the gear changes, you don't hear that aggressive bark, like, you know, you don't hear it. It's missing. So like someone said, it sounds like a vacuum cleaner. It's not that it sounds like a vacuum cleaner. It's just that it's very, very muffled. And that's because the Japanese, they're very concerned about noise pollution and, you know, too much aggression on the road and things like that. But when you have a sports car like this, you must have that, you know, like you drive an Audi RS4 or an RS6 or you get into a BMW M3. That feedback, that exhaust bark is so inviting.
A lot of people mentioned exactly that. And the fact that the car comes with a lot of fake vents. So do you think there's room for, you know, something more?
Well,
Supra
fake,
GT?
Fake vents. It's just like, you know, if you see all the new Mercedes-Benzes, they have fake rear exhaust exposures. Yeah. This is all design influences. There's nothing wrong with it. People like to put design influences to make it look great. If you don't have it, then you say, oh, why it looks so dull, you know? So that's a design fact. The other thing which I'm not really too happy with this car is the JBL sound system. I don't need a JBL sound system if I'm driving a Supra. I need exhaust noise. I need engine noise. You know, JBL sound system, if you can do it, 12 speakers, tapayala.
Okay, so I'm going to go straight to the final question, which is, I think, is a very big question.
Yeah.
Will it appease the Toyota enthusiast? Do you think this is... Because, you know, this is the Toyota Supra. This is the biggest, baddest Toyota that has ever existed. So with this new one, will it please all of them?
I'll put it this way. If I'm currently driving any one of the old Supras, any one of the old, even the boring early 1970s one, I will not be ready to put my money down, even if I had the money, because I'll say, no, it doesn't have the Toyota DNA, the Toyota thing. It's too BMW. That's what I'll say. But if I'm a person who always admired a Supra and never could afford it, which is my current situation, I've never had a Supra, I could never afford it, and I have the money to buy this, yes, I'll buy this because it's a Supra.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the final word. We're going to wrap up for today's show, though, of course. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Do join us. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from. We did talk about Proton's new identity. We had some launches of the Perodua Axia, the Toyota Supra A90, which we've just spoken about, of course, and the Mercedes AMG A35 4MATIC sedan.
Yep.
That was all on the show this week. Of course, we do have an Instagram page if you'd like to go over there and click.
It's at BFM Cruise Control, and we'll be trying out some new stuff this weekend because we've got a nice test drive coming. But yeah, just keep up to date.
There you go. That was Arif Ruse. My name is Richard Bradbury, and of course, this other fellow over here is
Daniel from DSF.my.
That's all the time we have for this week. We'll see you next week, folks, here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.